I'm just drawing a blank. I know the end of it, but I can't spit the words out yet.
No? It's a name.
Give me another clue. I'm ruining it.
Oh, it's right up your alley, though. Oh, it's killing me. Nobody knows the song anymore. Davy Crockett. Have you never heard it?
I don't know if I've heard it.
Davy Crockett.
Probably have.
King of the Old Frontier.
Never actually heard the whole song.
Well, now you know.
Yeah.
You're gonna have to learn it. Must be an old song. I don't know.
Oh, it is. I just don't think we've seen that when I was younger.
Yeah. Anywho.
Anywho.
Yeah, guys, welcome to Crossing the Line. I am Katie, and my co-star over here,
Jake
Jacket. And we're starting a little show so you guys can be our guinea pigs to see if you like it or not. I guess you might get offended at some point, but if you do, don't come listen to a show called Crossing the Line. It should be a sign. And the reason we're starting this show is because we've both been through some shit situations, and we know what it's like to have people ask stupid questions and say inappropriate things, and we're here to do that exact thing for everybody else.
Yep. Everybody's been through shit, though, and...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it can always get worse, mm-hmm. no matter what the situation. Tell me a situation, I'll make it worse.
Yep, exactly. We're gonna cross the line so you guys don't have to. We're gonna take the plunge. So,
what do you got for us tonight?
Yeah, diving right in. So, pilot episode is gonna be focused on me, just like I like it. my story. I lost my husband in 2019. It was a really crappy situation, totally unexpected. We were kayaking down the river like we did all the time. Pretty avid kayakers. And my husband was like the most athletic of athletic people who could do absolutely everything right, which was annoying most of the time. But we got to the end of where we were supposed to end the trip, and we went over this little... you even call that
it's cofferdam, I believe,
like that, like diversion.
Yeah, I didn't know what they were called either, and then when I told somebody, they're like, oh, that's a cofferdam. I'm pretty sure it's a cofferdam.
Okay, well, something that we had gone over several times before in the past, and I was right next to him, and he turned over and he looked at me and he said, I'll go over it if you do. And I was like, okay, we're in, go for it. And he went over first, and he was just a little bit in front of me, and I saw his boat, immediately turn sideways, and he put his oar up in the air, and he, celebrated, yeah, I landed, I'm here, and then all of a sudden his boat just got whipped around again and got sucked completely under the water. So, again, I wasn't even panicked at that point, to be completely honest. I was like, crap, now we got to go find his cooler, his phone's probably ruined, everything else, a speaker, that's what was going through my mind. And it wasn't until I went over the wall next to him, got out, and then I saw him come up from the water and yell help. And so I went running out there. I tried to get close to him, and you could literally see that he was in a
whirlpool.
Yeah, it looked like a whirlpool, but what that's called, something like undertow.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like he was just, it was like flushing the toilet. It looked like he was in the middle of it, and he couldn't get out of it. So he came up twice more, yelled help both times. I was 5 feet from him, and I knew if I would have gotten any closer that we would have both been gone, and our two-year-old would have been without parents.
Exactly. Yeah. So. I've heard several versions of that. I'm impressed with how you are able to open up about it and stuff. It was a terrible deal. I wasn't there. I remember getting the phone call about it.
You remember where you were at and exactly what you were doing?
Yep.
What were you doing?
I was at it. It was Memorial Week, and I was at Raven's River Bash. I remember getting the phone call, and the waters were rising so much when I took the phone call. I was standing on dry land, and by the time the 6-minute, 10-minute phone call was over, the water was going over my boots.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just something I'll never forget,
mm-hmm.
Along with a lot of other stuff. But
yeah, I mean, it happened so fast. And there was kids on the bank. They were fishing, and they were just staring the whole time and watching us out there, like, trying to get to him. And they weren't doing anything. And I remember being pissed off because they weren't trying to help or doing anything. And I actually screamed at them, call 911. So one of them must have. I don't know who those kids are. Still to this day, I have no idea. But by this point, the rest of our kayak crew had gotten next to me. So, like, Trevor was next to me. Kendra was next to me. Brooke was out there. Grant was out there. We're all, like, screaming at each other, like, what the hell is happening? Where is he? Where is he? And my next immediate thought that went through my head was, I'm trained. I'm a trained medical professional. Like, I'm an EMT. You know, I worked in the hospital. I was a rad tech, lab tech. I know CPR. I was like, okay, this is going to turn into a hero story. I'm going to find him. I'm going to do CPR. Everything's going to be fine. And that lasted 10 minutes. And by that point, it was very clear that he was not coming back up. And then, I mean, I remember actually turning around in the moment and seeing his kayak pop back up, like, way behind us, way down the river. Like, it didn't come up till then.
Yeah, that water is just the power behind all that water is insane.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, nobody's ever seen it like that here.
No.
I mean, I don't think anyone in Nebraska has seen water like that for over 100 years.
No, I don't either.
It was insane. And then to kayak down that, it's scarier than whitewater rafting, my opinion. Because
yeah, and you know, that's actually something that's bothered me because I guess what I didn't mention was 2019 was the huge flood of Nebraska. So all the riverbanks broke out, and you know, the bridges were out everywhere, like everything, the course of everything got changed. So like from the flood starting, which was in March that year, right? March?
Yeah.
Okay. Up until Memorial Day weekend, we hadn't got to kayak yet because it hadn't been nice enough. Well, Memorial weekend was going to be nice enough, so we were like, oh, so excited, because we had been talking about it for weeks, how we couldn't wait to get out there and kayak and see, you know, the damage it had done, which was awesome, because we did. We saw a lot of debris. There were, like, houses. There were parts of houses in the water. There was wagons up washed up on the sandbars. I mean, so many different things on this river that, like, we knew, like, the back of our hand the year before because we were on it so much, and then now it's, like, a completely different river. So it was neat to see that, and I was super excited about going in the first place. Obviously didn't know, you know, it was going to turn out like that, but again, I guess shit that happens.
Yeah, you just never can plan for anything like that. There's
no.
Nothing, there's no rule book or, you know, there's, it's just how it is.
Right, right. Yeah, so, I mean, in the moments immediately after, what I remember... I remember losing my mind. It was weird. Like, I wasn't, like, I don't know. I didn't, like, collapse and lay there and not do anything. My first instinct was to, like, call people, because I don't know why I thought they could come help me or, like, figure it out. Like, so obviously I was calling my parents, and then I called Brett's parents, and that was even worse. And
yeah,
they all sped out there and
get everyone
yeah,
notified, I mean, and try to brainstorm.
That was my immediate reaction, or I guess first thing I thought to try to make it better or try to help. I think back to that now, and I feel like crap about a few of the friends that I called, because I know I put them in, like, a horrible situation where, what, I mean, what do you say when you're on the other end of the phone and you have your best friend saying, my husband just drowned right in front of me. What do I do? Like, help me. And then what do they do?
They show up.
I mean, they did. And they did, they all did. But I still cannot imagine getting that phone call of me in this, like, frantic state, you know, just, like, screaming, crying, like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah.
None of that hits you.
They they just need to be there. You need them there.
Yeah. I mean, I still do. There's still those days, you know.
Yeah.
Happens often. But
you really came out of the gate 100 mile an hour there. I didn't wasn't expecting that.
No.
Thought it was gonna be little sprinkles throughout the episodes.
Told you I was going to.
Kinda caught me off guard a little bit.
Crossing the line, Jake.
Yep.
We gotta talk about the hard stuff.
Yep. So how are you doing now?
You know, grief is a weird journey. It's like, for me personally, I think the whole first year following, I don't remember much of it. And I like hate myself for that because we had a 2-year-old at the time. So I feel like I missed an entire year of his life almost, or basically I was like in a haze. And, you know, I don't know that I was as present as I should have been. I know that I probably wasn't, but I also like, I'm not mad at myself for that because I understand that I need to grieve too, but like you just find a way to figure it out.
You can't tell if it's a dream or not.
Right.
Sometimes.
It was like that several times.
Yeah.
Several times. And at the time I was working a job where I was on call with the hospital. So one night a week I wasn't able to be home, or I was able to be home unless I got called in. So he'd have to go stay at a grandma's house or something. And those nights were the hardest nights when it was completely quiet in my house.
The grandparents need that too, though. You can't, take that away from them.
For sure.
Unless it's obvious they don't, they want your kid around, though. I mean, every grandparent wants their kid around. But I know that makes it tougher for you, mm-hmm. you know, being quiet and you're mm-hmm. kind of like you making my house loud and rowdy when I'm used to quiet.
Sorry, not sorry. No, I do know that. And I mean, we said a lot, like my son was the glue of what kind of held all of us together, like Brett's parents, me, my parents, everybody. He was kind of, and he didn't even know, he's only 2.
Right.
So
right.
Running around, you know, like normal, being like 9,000 times more spoiled than he normally would be. And, you know, I don't want to say he was loving it, but I don't think he was like hating the attention either.
Right. Everybody likes attention.
Right. Well, you don't.
Right. Just leave me alone. Leave me alone.
Yeah. I don't know. How am I doing now, though? I've come a long way. I mean, I've grown a lot. I've learned how to be more selfish in a good way. Because I think before any of that happened, I was more like focused on making everybody around me happy and, you know, making sure that everybody else was having the best time of the best, you know, situation. And I kind of like, I don't want to say I'm not that person anymore, but I kind of knocked it off towards a lot of people I didn't need to be like that too.
Right.
I feel like I shorted myself.
Kind of wasted energy.
Yes.
Maybe.
Something I just didn't see or I didn't wake up to until I went through an experience like that.
Right. And I mean, you're probably just trying to be a good person and nothing wrong with that. But
sure.
You got to worry about yourself first.
Sure. Yeah. You learn to do that real quick because you have to. You mm-hmm. don't have your spouse there anymore to like, when you have a bad day, send you flowers or, you know, make you feel better or come home and just give you a hug or, you know, anything like that. It's like, okay, you're on your own now. What do you, you know, and the number one thing people says to you is, you're so strong. I could never be that strong. You're so strong.
You don't have a choice.
You have no choice. I mean, like,
you have to.
Thank you for the compliment, but also, like, I don't know how I did it. I still don't know how I did it, but I had to. Like, I had a son, I had a life, I had a job, I had a mortgage, I had bills to pay. There's no choice in the matter. I couldn't lay down in the fetal position and curl up in his spot on the bed 24/7 because I couldn't do that. I wanted to several days, but I couldn't. Which, in a way, is probably a good thing because had I been set up and, you know, been able to just sit at home, that would have been the worst possible thing that I could have done.
Yeah, I know. You got a lot of hobbies and you're busy and
mm-hmm.
I know why.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just how it is.
It is. I mean, I like being busy, though.
Right.
It's good.
I've been kind of lazy lately, I feel like.
How and in what way?
I mean, I could just be doing more, but some time change happens. So now I will.
No, time change. I've never been affected like it as much as I am this year.
I never get affected by it.
I can't get fucking out of bed. That has never happened to me. I can't get out of bed. Like, the first morning, I'm like, oh, it's fine. Lane didn't have school, so I didn't set my alarm, and we just allowed ourselves to sleep. But no, I just did not fucking wake up. And then it was like 8:30, and I'm like, I'm supposed to be working right now. I'm sleeping.
Yeah, I slept in pretty late mm-hmm. Sunday,
mm-hmm.
and I went to bed early. I didn't do shit. I went to bed early, and just felt nice to, I think I'm still trying to catch up from Mexico.
Mm. Could be.
Some people say that's not a thing.
Like jet lag and getting back to your normal routine after mm-hmm. vacation, I think it's a thing.
Yeah, well.
Well, you're so strong for getting back.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So, what questions?
We'll take a quick break. So, do you remember? I know there's a lot of shit going on. I don't know if you remember seeing me down here at all. I came down for a while, a couple days. I stayed at Trevor and Kendra's.
No,
just to help like the search party, but then they wouldn't let us do nothing except for sit on the bridge.
Right.
And, you know, watch for
maybe him.
Yeah. Floating down. Right. You know, I hate to say it, but probably maybe a little bloated.
Right.
You know, didn't see nothing. It got cold. It was rainy.
It flooded even more.
Yep. Just stayed on the bridge all day watching. And I just thought that was stupid. I'm like, this water is going so hard. He's probably past Kearney. Mm-hmm. I don't know the exact route of the river, but mm-hmm. he's a long ways away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's pushing giant cottonwood trees down the river.
Right.
Very quickly.
Right. I mean, even that next day, the water rose so much you couldn't even see like the wall that we went over. The water was level.
Only way he would have been, my opinion, upstream more is if he got an arm or leg caught in a crook of a tree underwater or something.
And that's what like the dive teams and that's what the sheriff and that's what like everybody was telling us, that they were convinced he was right by the wall that we went over. So they're like, we don't think he's left right where he went in.
I think that was the dumbest thing ever.
I agree.
Just my opinion.
I agree. Because they ended up bringing in that other dive team that actually walked or like, you know, roped themselves up and went across that wall. And I was there, like, I was there watching this whole thing and watching them go across and feel and go down and, you know, explore everything, which again, it's actively flooding when they were doing this. So for these people to be out there like risking their lives to try to search for my husband was insane, to be one thing. And then the other thing, though, that actually pissed me off and still does to this day is the people out there that were also watching next to me that were telling everyone, we don't think Katie needs to be here. Katie shouldn't be here right now. She should be watching this. Like, I dare you to go through this situation and have it be your husband, and you're going to sit at home while everybody else is out looking for him. That's not how it works.
I agree with you. I could see both sides. Maybe they didn't have good intentions. Maybe they did.
Irregardless, like if they would have said, we think we found a body at that point, it's not like I'm going to run up with a microscope next to it and see it, but at least I'm there to know.
Yeah.
They found him.
Yeah. You need that visual as part of a healing process.
Well, yeah, I mean, but why would I want to be sitting at home while hundreds of volunteers are there searching for him?
I agree, but sometimes you need to take a break from the stress. You need to rest a little bit sometimes, I 100% get you, but sometimes you need to take a little break from that.
You can't, though. That's another thing, like, people don't understand that. Like, they also don't understand shoving food in your face and saying, you need to eat. No, I promise you, I was not starving by any means at that point.
Right.
In fact, I had just told Brett on that kayak trip, I will never forget this because it's uncanny to me, the coincidence, but I had just said, will you just starve me for 10 days so I can like lose some weight and actually feel good before the summer starts?
He did.
And then coincidentally, he was missing for 10 days. That has stuck with me.
That sucks.
It's weird. It's just a weird coincidence.
you get what you ask for.
Right. I mean, yeah. Yes. But I mean, again, in those situations, like, people need to realize, like, if I had to eat for my survival, I will eat. But if I don't have an appetite, there's a very clear and understood reason why. And I just was not feeling like eating. I would have drank 90 cases of White Claw. You're welcome, White Claw, mango. But
you do drink 90 cases of White Claw.
I know.
On the regular.
I know I do.
I see it.
Not denying it. But yeah, it was just, I mean, and again, that's not, it wasn't like that was even an abnormal thing. I'm a pretty regular drinker. I'm a seasoned drinker. I'm not denying that in any way. So it wasn't like me drinking every day while going out to search the river for 10 days in a row was an abnormal behavior. But the people that didn't know me or weren't my best friends that had no idea that, you know, I am a social drinker like that, were immediately pointing fingers and already suggesting she needs help.
Fuck 'em.
I know.
I mean, maybe you do.
Well, maybe.
But
don't we all?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of times you can get that from your friends.
Right.
But I'm not naysaying towards counseling or anything.
Right.
By all means. Everybody deals with shit differently. Mm-hmm. So you do what you got to do. Yep. I feel like if you think you need to see a therapist or some counseling or something, then you got to know yourself. And, you know, I mean, sometimes it's nice to get that extra push from friends or family that you know care about you. But,
yep.
But you know, at the end of the day, you got to just make the decision yourself. Just
you
like,
be,
just like when you quit chewing.
Again, like I was saying earlier, though, how like I learned how to become more selfish, like in that sense too, helped me because.
Remember one time you said you're just playing the cards you've been dealt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I like before that situation, I remember like Brett always pushed me to go get anxiety medicine because I know I had my little attacks every once in a while.
Really?
Uh-huh.
I'd never guessed that.
Yeah, like, especially on plane rides, like, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, but after that, I remember, like, it just, like, was a calm, it was, like, a wave over me that I was like, okay, this is just stupid. The technology's out there. The studies have been done. I mean, there are drugs to take for this, and why do I need to act like I'm too proud to go take them? If they can help me, why the hell not?
Delicious, nutritious drugs.
Yeah, drugs. Anxiety pills.
You know what? I watched your TikTok video on, it was like a tutorial on what people need to do and don't and all that stuff. And
I don't like your face there. What don't you agree
just
with?
I'm just being snarky. No, I agreed with all of it. Good information to know, like, for people that don't know. And I was thinking one of the things people would always say, let me know what I can do to help.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing you can do to help.
No.
I appreciate you asking and just being there. Mm-hmm. Honestly, there's nothing you can do and there's no right words to say.
There aren't. Even now, like, I've told
but,
you that.
And I get that people are just trying to be nice and be there for you.
Right.
You know.
Right.
As they should, but I don't know. I just feel like it could be worded differently. Like,
well, like I said in that, though, and I will stand by this till the day I die, because I witnessed it happen with so many of my friends and my family. My dad alone stands out the most. Like, he was literally pacing in laps around my house. Like, I mean, you could just tell he was like fidgeting and everything. Like, he just could not figure out what to do. And he came up to me and he just put his arms out and he said, Katie, what can I do? Just give me something to do. I need something to do. And I was like, well, I mean, you can go till my garden. Brett usually does that for me. And
that's
like,
good dad.
Yeah. But within a few minutes, he was out there doing it. And I was like, okay, this is
anything
great.
To take the load off you.
Anything.
No parent wants to see their kids
no.
like that. You know,
no.
it's,
but yeah, that's where friends just started showing. Like, I didn't ask. They came out. Like, I had a friend that cleaned my toilets. I had a friend that helped me organize my house. Just a friend that came out and helped go through everything and go through clothes and stuff like that and help with laying or people that would come out and just take Lane for a few hours so I could just be by myself and have a moment by myself. God, Kendra and Trevor several nights came out and just sat there so I could go shower and they would be with Lane.
Right.
While I showered. And showering was my cry time. Like, that was the only time I took my time to cry, because, man, do you become a host when you have someone that dies in that public of a forum.
Mm-hmm.
People are there all the time. And you become the celebrity that you've always dreamed of being, but not in the way you want to be.
It's just in the nightmare instead of the dream.
That. It's like a double standard.
It's good, though, that all those people are out there.
Oh,
like,
100%.
You need that.
I agree.
I feel like. Not just you, but everybody.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, like it's helping your friends and family more than it's helping you just by telling them something they can do to help you out. Like telling your friends, hey, I need help with this, or, you know, I could really use a hand doing my yard work, or I could really use a little bit of help this week when I'm on call and I don't have time to go there and do this.
And then they get it done and they feel good about it.
They feel great. They feel like they've done something to help, and they have. Yep. That's just
exactly. It's something. It's just they're sharing the workload.
Yes. I think everybody needs to hear that, because
I agree. Yep.
I mean, nobody thinks of it. Just like, I know we talked about this another night, but one of the guys, he was our life insurance guy. So Brett actually worked for him for a couple years, and he is the one that talked us into getting life insurance, thank God. But he, for the funeral, instead of like gifting a plant or, you know, the normal gifts or something like that, he gave me an entire book of stamps.
That's awesome.
So for all like the thank yous and, you know, everything like that, like I had stamps to put on, you know, everything I needed to send out, which to me was like brilliant.
Right, right. That's one less thing you got to go do.
Who thinks of that? That's so smart.
People that have been through it.
Right, that. And obviously being a life insurance agent, you think, you know, you've seen a few things.
I bet you had to send out a lot of thank yous. Brett knew a lot of people.
I had to write like a public thank you in the paper, because there was over 1,000 people at the funeral.
Good Lord.
So imagine writing, not that I didn't want, I wanted to, but also imagine, you know, the sudden loss, the 10 days of missing and searching, then the funeral, and then just like the aftershock of what do I do now, because I haven't been working for, you know, 2 weeks. I again am now our sole income. Like, even if you have life insurance, you don't get the life insurance for a few months. So how in the hell was I going to pay my mortgage? How was I going to pay, you know, our car payments? How was I going to pay the dirt bike loan that I didn't know that we had? Thank you, Britt. Everything, groceries, everything like that. It's just, it's insane. The things that you would not think of that all of a sudden you're very aware of.
Right. And it just is tough to do all that stuff alone. I mean, and that's where like your friends and family, you know, maybe bringing you out a casserole or something, mm-hmm. or, you know, just, you know, that's where it's nice to have good friends and family.
Yes. 100%.
So what are some kind of stupid questions people asked you, or fucked up, or, mm-hmm. you know, anything really stick out in your brain there about,
oh yeah,
just nonsensical stuff that was said?
Like more than you can even imagine. I could probably go for 2 hours talking about them, but a few off the top of my head that really triggered me or made me really mad. Before the 10th day, I had contacted the church hall to see if we could have a memorial service there on a Saturday. And the lady that ran the church hall wrote me back, and her response was, "Why did they find his body?"
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's
like, that's the first thing you respond. I don't know. That one always stuck with me.
I'm sure it was like,
again, it's a crossing the line question, but
right.
It's one that you do not say when it's your job to rent out the church hall it's not your job to ask me my personal business.
Was she a mean lady or was she just kind of ignorant?
I don't think she's mean. Yeah, it's probably just an ignorant. It's probably an innocent question, yeah, maybe, or so she thought. I don't think she said it, honestly, to personally piss me off, but it did.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately,
yeah.
I was like, why are you at? Like, I wanted to write back, it's none of your fucking business, but I didn't.
Yeah. Anymore, you know, it's kind of off topic, but I usually wait like 24 hours before I run the stuff.
Really,
because
really stew on it for a while.
I know I get really, I formulate opinions too quickly. Mm-hmm. So I like to sit on them and
that's good that you do that.
Think about it for a little bit anymore. So did you, you chatted with the medium about this?
Yeah, not till like a year after. Well, to find him.
Right.
Yes. Okay.
That's what I thought.
Him. Yeah. So that is a cool story. So the reason we even found
him. You
want
to save
him,
it for later?
No, it's a good story. People need to hear it. So, yeah, so we searched for 10 days with people on foot, people on airboats. We had a helicopter, actually, that flew into my backyard and picked me up and let me ride along the river and search for things.
I know I had a buddy from over near Richland,
mm-hmm,
and he's got a plane, and I know he drove up and down looking, mm-hmm, but I think it was too fast. Like, you just couldn't take the time to look like you could in a helicopter.
Right.
And I know he tried looking, but like I said, I don't think it was too,
yeah,
you know, it was too fast. And
right. Yeah. So, no, the psychic, she, well, my dad's cousin, Lori, she's always been like the hoot of the family. She's a lot of fun, but she's passed on a couple years ago as well. But she actually was contacted or somehow got in contact with this psychic, and she talked to her about Brett and said, you know, my cousin's daughter lost her husband. He drowned. We were trying to find his body. Like, it's almost been 10 days. Like, where is he? And Lori called my dad and said, the psychic called me. Like, she said he is by a Monroe Bridge. There's an orange triangle. There's an eagle, and he's waving at you. And my dad, like, this was 2 days before we found him. He's like, I mean, what the hell? Why not go try it? I'm going to drive up towards Monroe in his airboat. And he was on his way to Monroe, and in the middle of it, his airboat caught fire. And he had to, like, pull over and abandon ship, basically, and get the fire put out. And then we ended up calling it quits for that day. And then it was the next day. We went back out, and we all went back towards Monroe. And we were sitting there, and I was on one side of the river. There was a couple of people on the other side. And painted on this bridge, there was an orange triangle, like, you know, spray-painted graffiti, whatever. I saw it. I guess I didn't really, like, put two and two together. But I ended up jumping back on the airboat. We called it a night. It was, like, 6 o'clock. Some of the people had said, oh, they thought they smelled something across the river from me. So we took off back towards the South Head Gates where we started. They went over there, and then we got back to South Head Gates, and I'd actually walked away from the group because I was having like a meltdown moment, and I don't like people to see me cry. So I walked away, and the sheriff called me twice. I ignored it because I was listening to me and Brett's wedding song, like, in my phone, and I was like, I don't need another call from the sheriff. I want to sit here, cry, listen to my wedding song. So he called me twice, and then his wife tried calling me twice. And finally I picked up, and he said, Katie, we found him. And I was like, are you sure? And he goes, I need you to explain his wedding ring. And I did, and he's like, yes, I know this is him. And turns out he was, like, pretty much right under the Monroe Bridge. There was, like, an old dead tree sticking out of the sand. And he had kind of gotten, like, tangled under it in the sand. And there was an eagle sitting on the top of the branch when they went over to check it. And the only thing above the water was his hand with his wedding ring. So it was like he was waving. Yeah.
Did the police and the other, you know, search party know those details that?
No, I don't think they did. That was just something like my dad knew. And he had told us, and like I said, my cousin or dad's cousin Lori knew. So like we knew to like kind of like look for it. But again, in those 10 days for me, he might have told me, and then the next day I, you know, didn't really think about it. But when all the details came out, my dad was just like, oh my gosh, she nailed it. Like she was spot on where he was.
Freaky.
It is. I mean, I never really, I don't want to say I didn't believe in it, because I've always believed in like ghosts in the afterlife, and I've been a big like preacher about that. But
yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know, I've always talked about it. I believe in it. I know there's, you know, better from here.
Right.
I still kind of believe this is purgatory, where we're at right now.
Purgatory?
Thank you. Purgatory. Yeah.
Yes. You think we're in purgatory right now?
Thank you, yes.
I mean, no, I'm asking, that's what you're saying?
Yes.
No shit.
Yeah.
Man.
Otherwise, I think everybody would.
It's an interesting concept.
Be in heaven, but.
Like just full time.
Because they'd want to, yeah.
So you got to go through Earth to see if you're good enough to go, if you're not a shit bag.
Yes.
I know I've definitely been a shit bag, but I've just been trying to be better.
We all do. That comes with wisdom, and you don't get wisdom until you have life. I mean, the more life you go through, the more wisdom you get. Just how it goes. Right?
Philosophical quotes from Katie. Mark that one down. Well, now that you ruined my night, JK. I was always told if you say JK after something stupid, it makes everything better.
I've never heard that before, nor do I agree with it.
Well, I just made it up right now, so. Okay.
You say so.
All better.
Yeah. Yeah, cool story, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, cool is one way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hell of a story.
It is.
A terrible story.
It is.
It sucks.
It does. It still does. It still does. You got to live with that crap when you live in a small town of 1,082 people.
That what this town's up to now?
Yeah.
Geez, I need to move.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you live right next door to my mother-in-law. So.
Great folks.
Yeah, they are.
Great folks.
They're amazing. Still very close to them, which is also another topic we can get into some other episode, but.
Yeah. Yeah, they're good people. I like going over there, hanging out.
Yeah.
So after you talked with the medium,
mm-hmm.
and we found Brett, not we, but they found mm-hmm. Brett and everything, and the, you know, funeral and all that stuff
mm-hmm.
took place.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get kind of into your not normal but new normal, you know you gotta life goes on.
It has to.
So mm-hmm. so then what happened?
A lot of adjusting. A lot of adjusting. Again, trying to find someone for Lane to stay with on my call nights, and figuring out how to like navigate again, because my daycare didn't open in time for me to like get to work, because I would go to work at 5 a.m.
Daycares.
No daycares up for that, you know, at that time. So a lot of the times I'd have to drop them off with the grandma first, and then they'd take him to daycare, and then they'd also both have to pick him up from daycare every day, because I was never off, you know, until 6 p.m. So that was hard to get used to for a while. And then as far as like coming home at night and that routine, it was just, I don't know, it was very awkward. Like, I didn't really know how to navigate, because it was like always, I would normally pick up, you know, Lane and go home and start making supper and get ready to just kind of wind down and whatnot. And then in this instance, I was just going home, and then it was like, now what? So. Like when friends came over, it was great, because again, it took my mind off of things, and that helped a lot, and they were very good at it. But after then, they'd go home because they'd all have to work the next day. That's when it was really, really just shitty.
Reality sets in,
right.
that you're still going to wake up with the same results. Like it's not a
it's a never-ending
shitty dream.
Nightmare.
Yep.
It absolutely is. And like you can't help but, you're on social media, even though you shouldn't be on social media. Like, don't get on social media, because again, all of a sudden, like, your husband dies and 5,000 people want to be friends with you now. And mm-hmm. I remember actually just clicking accept to all of them right after he had drowned, because I am the one that the sheriff told me tomorrow is what these water experts are telling us. Tomorrow is when we all need to have eyes on the water, because the temperatures change, and with his body temperatures, he should come up to the surface tomorrow. So put something out there that says, you know, if anyone can help, look, or, you know, have eyes in the water, like, please come out and help us. So in my mind, I posted that status. I made it a public status, but then I had 1,000 people adding me as friends, and I was just adding every single one of them, thinking, you know, again, the more people you have to help, the better.
Right.
Right. So
a lot of bad guys slip through the cracks.
Oh my God. We'll have to have an entire episode where I just go through and read you my DMs.
Oh man. Can I read them?
They're bad. I mean, Jacket, they're bad. Like, you would not believe.
Lots of giant dick pics, probably.
You would not believe the people that prey on vulnerable women, or the people that I actually believe generally think that they're going to jump in as, like, the savior, or, you know, the person that is going to come in as the hero on the white horse and, you know, take you off into the sunset, like, I got
you. Make everything better.
Yes. I mean, yes. And they're people you've never heard of. And all of a sudden, they're, you know, they start it very lightly, like a conversation, like, I'm so sorry to hear what happened. Like, I feel terrible for you. You're in my thoughts and prayers. And so at first, I would respond to every single one of them and just be like, thank you so much. Well, that's when things would immediately change.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would be like, so how are you doing? So do you want to hang out sometime? So can I come meet you sometime? And then I just had to quit responding to every single one of them. And that got really hard too, because you don't want to ignore everybody. Like, because some people are genuinely, like, wanting to be there for you. And then all these other fucking creeps, I'm sorry, but they were horrible.
What are you sorry for? Nothing.
No, I'm sorry for calling them creeps, because maybe they're not. But again, when you don't know me and you're sliding in there like that before we've even found his body, like, what is going through your mind asking me if I will go out with you?
Well, I hate to say it, but a lot of guys got the mentality of shoulder to cry on's a dick to ride on. He's just spit beer out everywhere. Thank you. No big deal, though.
It was a White Claw.
But you've never heard that?
I've never heard that.
Well, it's a thing.
But see?
That's what she said.
Oh my God. It's funny every time.
It is.
I need to throw more of those in there.
I've never heard that, but.
You've never heard that?
No. Which is shocking.
Really?
Say it again.
A shoulder to cry on is a dick to write on.
No, didn't know that one. I think I'm a little more innocent than you think I am.
Is that what you think?
Maybe. I don't know.
You're done. You're done. Patty cake head ass.
That.
I should have started doing those a lot sooner, but, you know, tough times.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, what goes through a guy's head like that, though, when you... It's public of a thing that it was, though, in those 10 days. And okay, you're fine. But you... Like, there are guys that actually think I would go fuck them.
Yeah.
While my husband is missing in the river. Are you like, you're serious?
Yeah.
What the fuck? And why? Do your dicks really take over your brains that easily?
Oh, yeah. Jesus. Yeah. It's, I don't know. I'll do some research, but, some scientific research, but it's just how guys are wired.
I don't get that, because I mean, obviously
it's shitty. It sucks. I mean, I feel like I feel like I'm wrecking the bro code right now, but.
So it's just like, immediately, oh, her husband died and she's on the market again. Like,
She's probably horny.
Let's dive in there.
She's probably really horny.
That's exactly what was
probably
happening.
Hasn't gotten any for 10 days.
Oh,
that sucks. Oh. That was too much.
That was a good one. That was
too
dark.
Much. Yeah, my bad.
That was dark.
I'm gonna regret that one later. I'm sure.
But actually,
that's fucked up.
They probably did think that.
Oh yeah.
God.
Why? I mean, why else would they? Why else would they?
That's what I'm asking you. That's all I don't know.
You know, put the pieces together and then formulate your own opinion.
Right.
I mean, I'm not wrong, probably.
I probably not. I'm not wanting to agree with you, but I do. I'm actually glad that you said that because I don't know. It just answers a lot of questions in my head right now.
Well, you know, as a former scumbag, I kind of know how shit goes.
So another strategy they had to start messaging me though would be like, you might not know me, but I knew Brett really well, and we were really good friends.
Oh, really?
And I wouldn't know these people. And that's how they would start the conversation. So immediately I would feel, you know, like I had to write them back and be like, thank you for reaching out. I'm like, thank you for your condolences. I'm glad you got to be friends with him. I'm glad you had the memories, yada, yada. And then that's when it would turn into, what are you doing? What are you doing later?
These nuts.
Yeah.
These nuts. Got it.
But yeah,
never gets old.
The one, I'd have to actually find the post, but the one is the one that sent me that message a year and a half later, 2 years later, or whatever, when I had moved forward and, you know, met Miles, and we found out we were expecting Mac
Daddy.
Do you remember this message I got on Facebook? And then right after he sent it, he deleted his entire Facebook because it was like, what's the thing they say? Right before they're about to say something offensive.
No offense.
No. Yes. Okay. That's it. That's what it was. No offense, but don't you think it's a little early to be moving on? And to even be thinking about having another kid or having another kid with somebody, don't you think your husband would be a little bit fucking pissed at you? Like how dare you? And then I think he called me a slut or something like that. Or no, he told me I was whoring around.
That's, in my view, my opinion, that's something a jealous person would say.
So he was the one. He was the one of the ones that reached out and said, you don't know me. But yeah. I was really good friends with Brett.
Right. So he's a snake in the grass.
Yes.
It like I said, my opinion is just my opinion, but that's what somebody would say as a manipulation tactic.
I didn't date him.
And like I said earlier, there's no rules. There's no guide to life, to how you live your life.
Right.
You do what you got to do to survive and be the best you can.
Right.
And don't worry about other people's shit.
It's easier said than done, though.
I know.
It's fucking hard to do.
Yeah. Well, but you got to do it.
Again, especially when you live in a small town.
Anything worth having or doing isn't probably going
to
be easy.
No, I agree. You have to learn how to have thick skin, but for me, that took 31 years. I mean,
yeah,
it took me that long to actually realize you don't have to live for everyone else around you. And at some point it's completely fine.
There's nothing
selfish.
Wrong with helping people out when they need help, but
100% no,
but you can only give so much, you know, before you smell a rat,
before you start sacrificing your own happiness.
Right. Like, I don't know. I mean, I can only imagine what your inboxes are like and stuff. Like, it's not my business.
Let's have an episode where we just go through and read them.
Yeah, I'll read them. I'll imitate their voices and shit too.
Let's have an episode where we go through and read those. And then we'll go through and read the entire list I have written down of rumors that got started about me, like right after Brett died.
And man, I'm rumors excited about those. Cause I didn't live down here then.
Oh man, you're going to be,
I lived up north, so I didn't get to see all the,
I can't wait for
that. I didn't get to see all the shit. You know, I wasn't here for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple years after that, then that's when I moved back down here.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, blah, 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 blah. Anyways, we had to take a quick break. We're back now. Here's what I had to deal with. You left the toilet seat up. That's what Katie says. We left off with the rumors. Yeah, well. Did you put it back up for me?
No.
Why?
Because you might have to sit down next. How do we know? Like, it's tricky with guys.
I'll do it myself.
Why are you so complicated? You have to have both. Like,
why do girls get to have the toilet seat always put down for them?
No,
when is
actually,
when has a woman ever put the toilet seat back up for a man?
But this is a good point. Why do you even have to put the toilet seat up? Because you should just be able to fucking aim and not hit the goddamn toilet seat.
Maybe some of us got short wieners.
Again, it doesn't matter. Lean over.
You know what?
What? Argue that. You can't.
Maybe need a bigger target. I'm not wrong.
Hot dog down a hallway?
Well, it's not exactly like that.
No, but really, why? Like, why? Why can't you? I will never understand. You just not pay attention for a second or turn around real fast and pee.
There could be hundreds of different variables.
Okay, then why can't you just simply pull a piece of toilet paper off the roll and wipe off like the dribble, and then you would never have to lift the fucking seat. It could just always stay like that.
That's a good question, but I mean, why?
It's
not my problem. It's yours.
You're in total fucking denial right now. Yeah. You don't like sitting on your own pee either when you have to, like, if you pee right now,
unlike
and
when
then
my balls
like
fall into the water
in
5 either.
5 minutes and you run in there and then you have to sit on your own pee. Do you like that?
I don't do that. I don't pee on the fucking seat.
Okay. Then why do you put the seat up?
So I don't pee on the seat.
Valid. Okay. I think I've made my point here.
I mean, we could debate this for an hour alone.
Fine.
And I'll end up being right.
I highly doubt that.
No.
We can take a poll later.
Yeah, take a poll. Do it.
These nuts. Got it.
Oh, man. Very mad times in the middle of the night when I get up to go pee and fall in the fucking toilet seat. Like,
oh, that would suck.
And
I've almost done that a few times. It's scary.
It's terrifying. And
yep.
It's gross. And then you're just traumatized.
You guys should get a bidet.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. They scare me a little.
Why?
Like water shoot, and then they have the options of water shooting at mm-hmm. the front or the back, and that
right.
all scares me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're
I
in.
I don't think I want water at my butthole. Isn't that kind of what happens? And then they have like different.
That's exactly what happens.
Okay. It creeps me out.
Everybody I've ever talked to that's used a bidet, I never have yet.
I haven't either. Because why? Why?
Some people don't like change.
No, but why?
It's
you're scared.
Not, it's
you're
not,
fucking scared,
not,
just like I am.
No.
Yes.
I'm not.
Bullshit. I can see you looking away.
It's
you're
not
scared.
That. It's not that high on my priority list right now.
Pussy. You're scared. I am too. I'm right there with you. I'm terrified.
I never said I was scared. You said you were scared.
Fine, but you are clearly showing that you're also.
No. I.
You just admit it. Like
just haven't used one yet. It's like skydiving. Haven't done it yet.
Not anything like skydiving.
I mean, it kind of is. They're both scary
shooting
things.
Shooting water up your ass and skydiving?
I've heard great
totally
reviews.
Different ends of the spectrum.
Great reviews on the bidet.
You first.
I'll get one.
Oh, God.
You going to use it?
Oh, should we keep our headphones on while we go use it? Give an honest review.
You're done. You're done, patty cake head ass.
You're done. Mm-hmm. As, what's her name? Bailey Dupree?
You introduced me to her in,
I know.
In the you're done thing, and I think it's hilarious.
She's funny.
Mm-hmm.
You're done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I think that's probably going to wrap it up for this episode.
Yeah.
I think if anyone has any questions or wants to call in or potentially be on the cast, get a hold of us. Let us know. We're open to new ideas and new opinions.
Yeah.
Everything.
Or, you know, if you have any like specific questions you want.
Or if you want to talk about what you went through, because like I said, I mean, you can be in a situation and it can always get worse.
Mm-hmm.
As shitty as that is to say, I mean,
we've all seen it.
It's life.
Mm-hmm.
It's life. And it's just,
we're just living it.
Yep. There's nothing easy about it, but you can just move forward and try to be better and get better the next day.
Yeah. Special quote by Jacket there.
You are the old KSWAN15 on the TikTok.
Facts.
TikTokstagram.
Yep. And we have an email. It's Katie and Jacket at crossingtheline.live. So it's KATIE and Andy.
And not the signal. It's
right,
it's a word.
It's spelled and. And then okay. JACKET at crossingtheline.live.
That's
so
a Texas size 10-4.
Fun questions you want me to ask Jacket, or any questions you want Jacket to ask me, or just any random topics you guys want us to talk about.
Or if you want to share your own experiences.
Yep. Throw them our way.
We can delve into them. And
delve. Oh.
It's a word.
Okay, sure.
I have a dictionary.
Jacket also has a dictionary, so we can help you out.
Our kids use Google nowadays, though. Okay, thanks for listening.
Yep. Bye, guys. We'll see you next week.